It's great to be with you here this morning. It's odd to be on this side rather than that side, but I count it a real privilege to be able to come and just share a little bit of my journey with you. We all have our story of walking with Jesus and what that means. And today I just want to share a few of the pointers and things that Jesus is teaching me. And I don't think we ever arrive. I think that's why it's a circle in the middle there, walking with Jesus, because it's a constant growing in his grace and in his mercy. It's really important that we share our stories together, because the Bible says that we belong to each other. You belong to me and I belong to you. And sometimes we like that, and sometimes that's not very comfortable. But that's how God has made us, to be in the body together and to share our stories, because you're learning things that I need to know, I'm learning things that you need to know, and as we share our stories of walking with Jesus, we all grow together. I remember walking into church one morning, and the worship team was singing, and the worship leader stopped to pray, and he said, "Oh God, we have come here to be changed this morning." And I remember it stopping me a little bit short because I was enjoying the peppy music, I was tapping my toe, and I remember being stopped a little bit short and thinking, you know, I've come to be encouraged, I've come to be inspired, I've come because it's our habit on Sunday morning, but have I come to be changed? And that stuck with me for a long, long time. And when God brings us here on a Sunday morning, he brings us here to be changed. I always believe that when there is an event, whether it's a Sunday morning or an event like last night, whenever an event is prayed up, and we know our staff here pray for us on a weekly basis, and whenever you make the decision to get out your door on a Sunday morning when you could do a lot of other things, I believe it's a divine appointment. And I believe that God brings us together because he has something that he wants to teach us, something that he wants to just change in us just a little bit. And as a result of being together, we walk out that door and we walk just a little bit differently in our world because we've been together. And you know, it's just a little side note that on a Sunday morning like this, we are a part of over 110 other churches in our Western District that are meeting together this morning, right about this time, across Alberta, and one in Yellowknife, and there's a whole group of over 110 churches where people just like us are meeting to learn, to love God, to have those divine appointments, because God is changing us. God is at work. He is on the move. Sometimes when we think of our Christian walk, we think of like the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And you know, when our kids were little, our daughter was reading the 23rd Psalm to her brother. She was probably in grade 1 or 2, and she was still learning how to sound out words. And she came to the next line in the 23rd Psalm, and she read, "He roasteth my soul," instead of, "He restoreth my soul." And sometimes our walk is like this. It's beautiful and placid, and we're enjoying the day and the quiet waters that he leads us beside. But then, life happens. And turbulence comes along. Hard things happen. What does walking with Jesus mean when life isn't placid, when we aren't going beside quiet waters? What does it look like to walk with Jesus when the wildfires of many kinds blow their smoke and their turbulence, create updrafts and downdrafts that create havoc in our world? This is actually a picture of the Fort McMurray fire a couple of years ago. And it changes the dynamics of the air around us just by the very nature of what's going on in our lives. Just the world news. Some people get up in the morning and look at CNN and go to bed at night and look at CNN. And their day is sandwiched in between all that stress of what's going on in the world and carries with us. Sometimes it's the natural disasters, the things that we know other people are facing, what the refugees are facing. It's all right in our face and in our minds and hearts. Sometimes it's closer to home, in our homes, in our relationships, in our jobs. Sometimes it's at the doctor's office. And hard things come, and what does it look like to walk with Jesus when things are not so easy? This is one of my favorite verses. A few years ago, it was my verse of the year, and I put it on a yellow sticky in several places in the house. If there's a verse that God is kneading into my soul, like we knead flour into bread, to change the consistency of my life, I like to focus on it because life is busy and life is fast, and I can read a good verse and say, wow, that's a really good verse. And then later on in the day, I might think, what was that good verse? I was going to remember that. And so I find that I need to be intentional about kneading into my heart what God is teaching me. So a couple years ago, this was my verse. I had it on a yellow sticky when I brushed my teeth in the morning. And you could put it on a screensaver, take a picture of it, put it on a screensaver so you see it through the day. But it's such an honest prayer. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. Two requests to teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. All day long. All day long. Our hope is in the Lord all day long. So what does that look like on a Monday morning when we're rushing out the door and we've got a million things to do on our to-do list? What does that look like on a Monday morning to have our hope in Jesus all day long? Well, one of the first things we do when we get up in the morning is accept God's invitation to come to Him. Before our feet even hit the floor, we can stop and just say, God, I accept your invitation to come to you today. Walk with me this day. Because once our feet hit the floor, stuff happens, right? And it's a busy day. So before that moment even happens, to stop in those first moments of consciousness in the morning and just invite God in. Thank you, God, that you have invited me to come to you. And many times, especially in those turbulent times, we get weary and we get burdened. And he says, come to me and I'll give you rest. So that before we even get out of bed in the morning, we can enter into his presence quietly. It takes only a moment. He is so gracious to meet us. And he says, I'm going to give you rest. I know it's a busy day. I know you're burdened with many things. I know you're tired. I know that that meeting you're going to walk into has you a little anxious. But I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your soul. You know, you can hardly even Google that word, yoke. You get egg yolks and everything else. But it's that picture of the oxen, that old picture of the oxen, with the handmade yoke that doesn't chafe but allows them to pull together in unison. It's a teaming up. And Jesus is saying, come on, let's team up for the day. I'm going to team up with you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and I'm humble, and you'll find rest for your soul. You'll find rest for your soul. You know, we live in a world that is crying for rest for our souls. Emotions are at a high peak, weariness in our bodies. Our minds are so full of so many things. And Jesus just offers that invitation every single morning. Come, come. I'll give you that rest. For my yoke is easy. It's tailor-fitted for you. And my burden is light. So let's go into the day together. The The next thing that Jesus offers us is freedom. We sang about that this morning. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, stand firm in your freedom and don't be entangled again. Don't be burdened again by that yoke of slavery. It's a question every single day of what we're going to team up with. That yoke of teaming up with Jesus, or that yoke of slavery, the things that make us feel not so free as we walk along in life. And you know, one of the main things that robs us of our freedom is regret of yesterday and fear of tomorrow. It robs us from living in today. It robs us of today. When we're focusing, when our head hits the pillow and we're anxious about tomorrow, or we're regretting our yesterdays, it robs us of our today. And our today is where we walk with Jesus. Walking with Jesus always brings us to what our story is today. What's your story with Jesus today? We can point to a time, maybe a lot of years ago, when we first made that commitment to say, Jesus, I do want to walk with you. We can maybe point to some answers to prayer along the way. And those are wonderful track record of God in our lives, and it's important to remember those things. But it's also important to ask ourselves, what is my story with Jesus today? Think about that. That's a good question to take into your week. What's my story with Jesus today? Is it one of trusting him? What is it? Because he does want us to walk free. We live in a culture that has so much darkness and so much brokenness. And we know where the well is. We know the freedom Jesus can give us. So let's not be tangled up in that partnering with the worry of tomorrow and the regret of yesterday. So on a Monday morning, where the rubber meets the road, how do we feel? You get up Monday morning, your feet hit the deck running, you've got a whole week planted out ahead of you. Do you feel full or flat, anxious, calm, getting by, surviving? Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. So teaming up with Jesus brings life. Teaming up with Jesus brings life. Do you feel like your life looks like that? Or does it feel a little more like the trickle of a stream that's getting a little parched around the edges? Jesus says, team up with me and I will bring life. I heard a preacher say one day that the glory of God is to be fully alive. The glory of God is to be fully alive. And I ask myself that question often. Am I fully alive? Sometimes we feel fully alive, and life is good, and life is great, and we thank our God. Sometimes we feel like we're barely alive, and fully alive is not what we'd call ourselves. The glory of God is to live fully alive. His invitation to us, his freedom to us, invites us to this place of being alive. He puts his character in us. You know, we can't live the Christian life in our own strength. It's impossible to live the Christian life in our own strength. But he puts his character in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's promised to be our strength in our weakness. You know, so often we're ready to say what our strengths are. I'm happy to tell you what my strengths are. Not quite so happy to tell you what my weaknesses are. Although we are all very much aware of our own weaknesses, but those weaknesses we don't need to shy away from, because those are the very entry points of God's strength. He says, my strength is made perfect where you're weak. So admit it, come to me, and let me pour my character into you. I call it the great exchange. It's a time when we can just bring our lack and our weakness to Jesus and say, by your Spirit, will you just change this out? Will you just change out my fear for faith? Will you just change out my impatience for your patience? Will you just change out my joy, my anxiousness for your joy? He does it. He does it supernaturally by the power of his Holy Spirit when we stop to ask him. So how does it work? How does it work? How do we get to that place, stay in that place on a Monday morning going through our week? Well, this is one of my favorite verses. I think I say that about a lot of verses, actually. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of all of life. Above all else. That's a big command. Above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of all of life. So every day we make a choice. Every day we make a choice of what we're going to do with our heart. Because our heart's at work within us all the time. And I don't just mean our physical heart pumping blood, but our heart that walks through our day. Scripture says, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, as a woman thinks in her heart, so he is. So she is. As we think. So he says, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Put that guard on your heart. Set your heart and set your mind. Since we've been raised with Christ. You know, last week Scott talked about the baptism and how the baptism symbolizes that being dead to Christ and being raised again with Christ to a new life. The baptism of symbolism of baptism is a wonderful thing. And this verse says, so since then that you've been raised with Christ to a new life, you're a believer now, you have access to all of this, set your heart and set your mind. Because as we think, so we are. So it's paying attention to what's going on the inside. And you know, that's a challenge, isn't it? Life is busy, life is full, and we can justify our anxiousness, we can justify our impatience, we can justify all the things that we feel through the course of our day with an unguarded heart. And so God says, I want you to just pay attention. Just pay attention to what's going on. Listen to yourself in your home. Just listen to the words you speak. What's your tone? Listen to what's going on in your own heart. And the clue to what's going on in your own heart is where our minds are set. What's going on in our minds? Scripture says to guard our thoughts, because where we focus, we follow. I was driving home not too long ago. We live out on an acreage, and I could see it was just kind of dusk, and I could see ahead that there was a big lump on the side of the road, and I couldn't quite make out what it was. And as I got closer to it and began to look, it was a moose. I started to go toward the ditch. And I quickly corrected, and off I went home. But where we focus, we follow. It's a true fact. We know it. We've all experienced that, turning to look, and all of a sudden, that's the direction you're going. So where we focus, we follow. And Scripture tells us to take our thoughts captive. So pay attention to what thoughts we're camping on, what thoughts we let pitch a tent in our minds, because that's what goes down into our heart. And he says we take our thoughts captive and we make them obedient to Christ. So when all of a sudden we recognize through our day that our thoughts are kind of spinning in a negative, our thoughts are kind of spinning in a self-condemnation way, our thoughts are kind of spinning in a critical way, when all of a sudden we're aware of that, we can stop. And in that brief moment, we can say, God, I just feel so irritated right now. And I just feel like I'd really like to condemn this person. And we drag that thought over to the obedience of Christ, which says, be patient, be loving, be kind. To pay attention, the agreements that we make have a lot of spiritual power in them. Our declarations, that's why baptism is really important. It's a spiritual declaration to the people around you that you're going to follow Jesus. When you tell your testimony, if you've given your testimony, you'll know it's difficult sometimes. It's a battle at times. And when we make agreements with things going on in our heart and in our mind, they make a difference in our life because those thoughts become words and we begin to declare them. Well, I knew it was never going to work out anyway. How does he expect that to work? Well, you know how she always is. And we start to make agreements with our words, the thoughts that are in our minds, and it takes us down a path. And we can make agreements with God's word. You know, the backbone of prayer is agreement with God's word. The backbone of prayer is agreement with God's word. Find out what God's got to say on a matter. Listen when he nudges you. This is also one of my favorite verses. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That whole verse is all God's work. May the God of hope fill you. May the God of hope fill you. And that hope isn't just like, oh, I hope it works out. That hope is confident expectation. Confident expectation that our God can fill us so that we can overflow with confident expectation in him by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not something we muster up. And there's only five little words in the middle that's our part in walking with Jesus. As you trust in him. And he calls us to trust in him. You have the word ALIVE in your bulletin. I've made it into an acronym just to help me remember how to live alive in Christ. The Bible says we are alive in Christ. Alive. So I've made this word into an acronym. I do a lot of acronyms because it helps me be able to put feet to what the Lord is teaching me. So the A, quickly, is be alert. Be alert. In order to be alive, we have to be alert. And Scripture tells us to be alert and to be vigilant because our adversary, we do have a spiritual enemy, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So here's a clue. When you're going through your day and something just starts to devour you, you're just eaten up by something. You're eaten up by annoyance or anger or fear. When you're being devoured, that's a clue. And in walking with Jesus, when we pay attention to what's going on in our hearts, we can say, I'm really being eaten up by this. And the Bible says that we don't have to give the enemy a foothold. And it specifically says anger gives him a foothold. When we let carry anger from one day to the next, it's like yeast. It grows. That's why the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Deal with it. Get rid of it, because it'll grow like yeast. And it gives the enemy a foothold, because then we begin focusing and following. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Drag your thoughts over to the Lord. Drag your thoughts. Lord, I'm feeling this way. Be honest. He knows anyway. And I need your help. Would you please help me in this moment to have a better attitude, to zip my lip, to wait and hear what your spirit would have me do? This verse, Lamentations 3:22, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. When my dad was dying, Mom had him at home for 9 months. And during those 9 months, it was a long, long, hard journey for our family. But God was so present. And I'd come out of sitting with Dad and see Mom bent over in her armchair with the little lamp, poring over her Bible so that she would not be consumed. And the Lord was so gracious and so good, and we were not consumed. There were not easy days. They were hard days. It was difficult, but we were not consumed. His mercies were new every single morning. And we wrote this verse out and put it in a little frame on the kitchen table because it held us as an anchor. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Psalm 91 says, remember the Lord's love in the morning and his faithfulness at night. Sandwich your day between that instead of CNN. Sandwich your day between the Lord's love. Thank you, Lord. I accept your invitation. And at night when your head hits the pillow, Lord, you've been so faithful. Thank you that you helped me zip my lip when I wanted to say something I shouldn't. Forgive me when I didn't zip my lip and said something I shouldn't. Sandwich our days in. So stay alert. The L is for listen. Listen to your heart. Listen to your heart. God speaks in the quietness of our heart. He says to be still and know that he's God. And you know, it's a tough challenge to get stillness these days. It's a tough challenge to get quietness. We live in a very fast-paced world, and it's getting faster every day with the technology. But God changes us from the inside out. And when we're paying attention, he speaks. And we get better and better at tuning in. Just like tuning in your radio to the station that you want. It's fuzzy. There's something there. You can kind of hear it. Oh, that song. Yeah, I recognize that song. And you keep tuning until you can hear it crystal clear. And when we walk with Jesus, he helps us tune. His Holy Spirit tunes our heart to hear him. I remember one time when we were living in Fort McMurray, we were living in the top of a hangar on a very, very busy airport. We had 10 airplanes and 30 staff, and our kids were just in their middle years. And it was a very busy time, and in order to make it all work, we were doing what we had to do, and we were living in the top of the hangar. You know what that's like when you do what you have to do to get a job done. And so there we were, very unconventional place to live, very challenging place to live, very challenging environment. Very, very difficult in the early days of it. In the end, it turned out to be such a blessing from the Lord that, the memories our kids have there. But in those early days, it was tough. And I remember one day deciding that I needed to have a family meeting because things just weren't going my way. And so I called the kids all together and I laid down the law about things like lunches and laundry and the stuff that goes on in a home that can sort of all fall to one person sometimes. And I laid the law down to them, and I told them that they weren't doing this, and they weren't doing that, and they weren't doing this, and I needed them to do this, and I needed them to do that. And at the end of it all, we went our ways, and I didn't really feel any better. Didn't know if anything would change. And the next morning, in that busy time, I took a moment to read a Daily Bread devotional, and God gave this verse. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what's helpful, for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Well, I thought immediately of my conversation the night before, and the you can't do this and you shouldn't do that and I need you to do this conversation. And I kind of argued with God for a few minutes. Like, yeah, they need to shape up. I needed to say all of that. And then the Spirit of the Lord said to me, yes, you have to address the issues. Absolutely, 100%. But you can do it in a different way. You can do it in a different way so that it actually builds us up together as a family. So it actually benefits those who listen. So that's the L. Listen to your heart, because the Holy Spirit speaks to us in those brief moments where the rubber meets the road on a Monday morning in life, when we have an issue and it needs to be dealt with, but the Holy Spirit will calm it and deal with it in a much, much better way than we possibly could. The I in Alive is to be very, very intentional. John is a pilot, as are our two sons. And this is one of the illustrations that John gave me a long time ago. He said, you know, when our compass is off 1 degree and we go 60 miles, we will be 1 mile off course. So, follow that through. If your compass is off 1 degree, in 60 miles, you're a mile off. In 120 miles, you're 2 miles off. In 180 miles, you're 3 miles off your target. And you keep going and going and going, and pretty soon you're way off target. And the Holy Spirit guards us from that kind of drift. When we walk with Jesus and we invite him into our day, and we pay attention to those little nudges that say, sure you want to say that? Yes? Sure, are you sure? He helps us from that drift of just that 1 degree that we could rationalize away so easy. He challenges us and he helps us. The V is for victorious. So often we don't walk victorious. With that spring in our step, we walk a little with that burden on our back. And Scripture tells us that God rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, who purchased our freedom. We've been transferred. If you've made that commitment to ask Jesus into your life and you're walking with Jesus, you're transferred out of that darkness. But you know, we feel it sometimes pulling at us. And one of the things that gives us another clue is when we're feeling under, weighted down and under. Because Scripture says that God raised Jesus up from the dead, and we symbolize that in our baptism because we have been raised with Christ. And Scripture says that Christ has been seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And then a little further on in Ephesians, it says that we've been seated with Christ. And under Christ's feet are all the principalities and powers. He has dominion over all the principalities and powers. So when we are feeling under the circumstances, under the gun, under, it's a clue. Stop and say, there's stuff going on here and I need to deal with it. but I've been transferred from darkness into light. So Holy Spirit, will you come and help me to push this darkness off and show me how to walk in your light? It's a simple, simple conversation with God, but it's a recognition of paying attention to where we're at. And it happens so easily. We get under, and pretty soon we've lost that spring in our step, and we've lost that victorious feeling in our soul. And God says, you have been raised with me. Let's push this off, and I will help you walk. I will be your strength in your weakness. I will trade you all of those things that you're struggling with for my character, for the fruit of my spirit. The E in alive, expect God. This is my most recent revelation. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that at all times, in all things, having all you need, you'll abound in every good work. Like, isn't that the most amazing verse? That's a familiar old verse. We can probably, a lot of you in this room can memorize that verse. God is able to make all grace, overflow to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will overflow in the good things that he's got for you to do. Scripture says that he planned things for us to do before the foundation of the world. He's got people for us to talk to. He's got places for us to influence. He's got places for us to walk into and bring his calm where there's chaos. All grace. But you know what I found? I found that sometimes I can rattle that verse off, but not really expect God to show up, not really expect him to do all that much. And I've discovered that when my expectation of God kind of slips off, and I know he could do a lot of stuff, but I just don't really expect that anything's going to change. When all of a sudden I pay attention and realize that that's my attitude, that I've quit expecting God, I've quit holding my hands open for him to put something into them, you know what I've discovered? Usually my hands are full of something else. Usually my hands are full of some dirt that I'm hanging on to. And often that's our hurt and our disappointment. And you know, we're going to be hurt and disappointed in this world. And we're going to hurt and disappoint, unfortunately, because we're all human. And it happens. It happens in our homes. It happens in our workplaces. And it happens in our church. We get hurt. We get disappointed. And we start to hold on to these things. And we just sort of have our hands, you know, kind of under the table, holding on to our hurt and our disappointment because we're justified, because we were wronged, because of all kinds of reasons, we just hold on to it. And what happens is that we no longer have our hands open and full to receive from God. And so he takes us on a journey because he wants to do immeasurably more than we can ask or think. And I had some hurt and disappointment that I had to decide to roll off, to let go of, because I missed expecting God to show up in my life. So if you're missing God showing up in your life, just ask him, show me if I'm holding on to anything that I just need to let go of so that I can freely, freely receive, because he has promised to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to the power that works in us as we walk daily with God. And you know what the coolest thing of all is? That when God says, guard your heart, it's the wellspring of all of life, and you take the time to apply these things that we've talked about on a daily basis as we walk through our life, letting him teach us so that he's our hope through the day, then listen to this, and the peace of God will guard your heart. It passes all understanding. Guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life. And when you do that, the peace of God will guard your heart. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind, your thoughts, in Christ Jesus. This is what walking with Jesus is all about. And he's so good that he keeps drawing us on. He's so good that he keeps inviting us every single morning. Every single morning. And so, in the name of Jesus, I just bless you that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with us, will be with you. Thank you.